Doug, you got to get me out of this kind of cynical Monday mood. I just went on a little bit of a commentary period on not being a big fan of the Federal Reserve or the Feds because they told us inflation was transitory. This banking bailout, it's not a bailout, not going to cost taxpayers anything. I mean, all this stuff is just complete BS, and we just go along with it like we're sheep in a field. But that's how I feel, so you can talk me out of it.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to talk you out of it, Jack. I was enjoying it. Calling it extended commentary. I would say it was kind of a rant, Jack. But what strikes me about the current moment we're in is the renaming of language. I feel like I'm in a George Orwell story. Like transitory inflation, but it's kind of like collateral damage in the military. It's not collateral damage. It's a mistake, and the wrong people were killed. You know, bank supervision is another one of these oxymorons. It's like, what? Because Greg Becker, the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, it's kind of surprising. Nobody seems to know that name. But he was on the board of the San Francisco Fed. He had been elected to the board. And so were the regulators, did they give him a pass on his interest rate risk because he was on the board? And of course, he was talking to their boss. That's always a possibility. And they'll look into it. If they don't come up with something really scathing about the fact that the guy who had regulatory problems was sitting on the board talking to their bosses, I'll be pretty upset about that. That would be more fuel for your cynicism.
Well, again, I don't know where it's headed. What else do you have for us? What's catching your eye on this Monday morning? Any big indicators this week we're supposed to be paying attention to that they'll put complicated names on?
I would say what we need to keep an eye on is commercial real estate. It's no great surprise that office space is not as occupied as it was. And it's no great surprise that interest rates are higher than they were 3 to 5 years ago. So what's going to happen is these commercial real estate loans that were booked, say, 3 years ago or 5 years ago are coming up for resetting, and there may be occupied 30% or 60%, 30% of vacancy on them, and they won't be able to make their interest payments. That's a real issue with some of the mid-sized banks. And so this migration of mid-sized bank deposits to big bank deposits is just going to continue. That concerns me. Obviously, the next week we have employment that's going to come out. That's going to be really important. But boy, it seems quaint to worry about employment and inflation when we had a banking crisis happening.
Yeah, good point. Are we going to see more? I mean, I heard some names of who's buying Silicon Valley. Was it First Citizens or something? I don't even know.
Yeah, First Citizens out of North Carolina. That's going to happen. And that's actually some rare good news here.
Are we going to see more bank news in the next few weeks? Are we through these jitters? I mean, I've talked to people over the weekend that were right here locally. You know, if they had a lot of money in a certain trust department at a bank, they were breaking it up because they were worried their bank, their money wouldn't be safe there.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for people to keep their deposits to less than $250,000. I don't understand why a sophisticated tech bro manages to get his crypto off chain into cold storage, but he can't break up a $1 billion deposit into 250,000 chunks when there are plenty of tech services that will do that for you. So there's no reason to have uninsured deposits. There's just zero reason to do that.
Hey, we only have a few moments. This is an abstract one. I was reading over the weekend, Doug Tegnan, Worldwide Market Perspective, Monday mornings, our own economist on this stuff. Doug, I was reading about just all the electric car push. I know, it's like technology. Some of this inevitable. I mean, the whole Tesla push. Now every major brand, Cadillac, Ford, Honda, Mazda, they all have their E offering, and that's going to grow. It's not, it's a small percentage of their models, but it's growing. And I won't get into some of the hypocrisy around the pollutants that go into making an electric vehicle, like the lithium cobalt mining that's happening in places like the Congo. But I was looking at one of the things I'm hearing from people that got electric vehicles a year or two ago, and no one told them this. And if you started to hear what these batteries cost on these electric vehicles, when all of a sudden, like I just had a friend this morning, text me this morning, and I believe him. He's a pretty sharp, good friend of mine. His daughter and his son-in-law, they got a Tesla. The battery's gone. He just sent me what an estimate. She said the battery's going to cost. Is it true they're like $12,000 to $15,000?
Yeah, that's what I read as well. I mean, those.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You, vehicles.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm an Auto Fair fan. They're a sponsor of the show. I believe in their brands, and I love my pickup trucks. Okay, so when I get my new pickup truck and I get a service plan at Auto Fair, I'm just being totally honest, like most people. Whether you own or lease it, you go there and say you have to change your oil, fluids, washer, rotate the tires. You can actually pay a little bit and your six service calls. You go there, you leave it for an hour or two, you sit in a beautiful waiting room, and you don't pay anything. You drive away, your vehicle's in good shape. But they serviced it, right?
Right.
Can you imagine people in today's budgets with these electricity bills we've been paying? They go, they bring their electric vehicle to the dealer, and they say, they come out, and they don't say you need new brakes for $800 or a new tire for $250, $300. They say, you know, battery's gone. It's $15,000. Can you imagine the person saying to their spouse, how are we going to pay for this?
Right, right. Well, presumably, if you own a Tesla Model S, you could afford a $15,000
Well,
let's go to
another all-electric vehicle. I mean, some other brands make ones that are more affordable. Say $48,500, you get an electric vehicle. No one told you how much a battery cost?
Right, right. These all-electric vehicles, the battery is part of the deal. And if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. I mean, that's just common sense. But like you've said in the past, common sense doesn't seem too common. I don't understand why they don't make more hybrids, why the hybrids, which seem to go three-quarters of the way where you need to go,
right.
You know, they'll give you the 50, 60 miles per gallon. I would love to have 50, 60 miles per gallon on one of my pickup trucks. And the electric provides better torque. I mean, the electric engine provides a lot better torque for acceleration and for towing.
You know, who's laughing all the way back is that retired or the person who was in Florida in a community with a golf cart they plug into their home and they never leave, and they don't have to go out and buy gas or anything. And the groceries are there, and the golf. Anyway.
Right.
All right, Doug, listen, make it a great one, worldwide market perspective.
Jack, you have a great week.